Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm thankful to be here this morning. I appreciate Brother Tavis and Brother Henry giving me space to be with the congregation today. Thankful for God's benefits and his blessings. Thankful for his safety, blessing us here. And I ask your prayers. I told my wife, I said, I feel nervous today. No, I've been preached in this chapel, in this pulpit, because it's always a serious responsibility when you stand before God's people to bring his word. My name is Kevin Fusilier. I'm the pastor in the Tulsa congregation. I know many people here, but I don't think I know everyone here. And I am happy that I have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you today.
Amen.
And as I was sitting in Sunday school, I was thinking, well, Brother Henry is about to preach my message, what he's talking about. But I see we have a common burden. And when I came in today, before we came in, we saw the birthday list that was on the wall. And I want to say happy birthday to all the January birthdays, because I'm in that group with you. So happy birthday. And but then I also saw that this is National Human Trafficking Month. And it just saddens me that in 2023, slavery still exists. And so we have some problems, and the Lord has put on my heart the burden about brokenheartedness. There's a lot of brokenheartedness. And I was thinking some of the results that we see are because people are brokenhearted. Human trafficking is a result of people being brokenhearted. Unfortunately, the state with the most domestic violence in the nation is Oklahoma. And that domestic violence is a result of people having broken hearts. And I was thinking about, and I was looking at some of the statistics, and the state with the largest number of reported abuse to children is, is Texas. All right, thank you. So Texas has the most reported abuses to children. And I was thinking about, that's a result of brokenheartedness. And then suicide, approximately 125 people commit suicide every day. And I was thinking that's because of brokenheartedness. So the message I have today is that God can heal the brokenhearted. And I want us to think about that. God can heal the brokenhearted. And I know you may be big and strong and everything, but today I want you to just be spiritually honest. And I know you might be smart and have a lot of intellect, but today I want you to be emotionally honest. Do you have any brokenheartedness that you need the Lord to heal you from? Is there anything in your life, in your experience, that you're just kind of dragging behind you just a little bit because of that brokenheartedness that you have inside? Because God has healing for our brokenheartedness. He doesn't want us to be wounded and injured and damaged. One of the things as a pastor, my desire is that everyone would come to full spiritual maturity. If we're dragging unforgiveness or bitterness or brokenness, so we're dragging these things behind us, it's harder for us to reach spiritual maturity. So I want us to understand that God can heal us of any brokenheartedness, wherever it may be. And as we look into a scripture, I want you just to think about yourself today. Is there a place in my heart, in my life, where I have some brokenheartedness and I need the Lord to heal me in some place that there's a place that it's just a little raw, and when people talk about it, you feel a little funny or sensitive? Or when you see that person come walking towards you, you feel a certain little way about them. If you feel that certain little way, that's because there's something down in here. And it could be even in a family. It could be in close colleagues and friends. Something happened. The brother this morning is talking about it. We have been offended, but we have also been the offender. So when we think about it, have we offended? We may need to go back and fix something. Have we been offended? Lord, help me to release that.
Yes.
So I want to look into God's word. I'd like to start in Exodus. Exodus 15. For those who have your Bible, I encourage you to read along. If you have a pen on some paper, make yourself some notes. Exodus 15 and 26.
Yes.
And I want you to listen. God has healing, and there's some things he wants us to do. In verse 26 in Exodus 15, it says, And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Yes.
See, the thing about it is, God's people, we don't have to suffer the same way that people outside of God's kingdom suffer.
Right.
We will have disappointments, we will have hurts, we will have different things, but we don't have to experience them and cope with them and deal with them the way that the people out in the world deal with brokenheartedness. Because out in the world, people outside of God's kingdom, they deal with brokenheartedness with drugs, alcohol, illicit sexual activity, pride. I mean, just all kinds of ways, ambition, ways that people try to deal with brokenheartedness or deal with the things. But God can heal us that we don't have to suffer from the things that are put on the people outside of God's kingdom. So I want you to understand that as one of God's people, we don't have to go through this life just like the people out in the secular world. We have a high priest.
That's right.
We have a God that we can turn to, that we can praise, like, Lord God, I'm experiencing this brokenheartedness. There's a little something there, and I need healing from that. And we can get that. He says, I am. Remember when they asked him, who are you? And he said, I am that I am. And part of that I am is, I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Yes.
See, this healing he has it for us.
Yes.
He has it for us. So I want you to think about it. Do you need it? If you need it, he has it for you.
Yes.
If you need it, he has it for you.
Yes.
He says, I am, which is present tense, not I was.
No.
He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Amen.
And I want you to think about that. It's available to you today. If you want it, it's available to you today.
Yes.
And we can have it. We can be healed and we can be whole. Have you ever hurt your foot?
Yes.
And have you ever tried to walk on that hurt foot?
Yes.
It's very difficult to do that.
Yes.
Sometimes what we need is to slow down long enough, address what's causing the pain,
right,
let it heal, and then we'll be able to walk right.
Yeah.
The same thing in our spiritual life. Sometimes there's something that we need to deal with spiritually, but we just kind of limp along, and we're limping along, and we feel like we're making progress, but we're just kind of limping along when we need to pause, see what it is, go to the Lord and pray.
Yes.
Get that thing healed, and then you can take off with power, and you can move forward. That's what God has for us. That's what he wants for us. So turn with me to Psalm 147. This is something that many people have experienced even before us. Psalm 147, I'm going to read verses 2 through 5.
Amen.
It says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Now, if you have a piece of paper, I want you just to write down honestly. Have you ever felt like an outsider? Have you ever felt like an outcast? Have you ever felt like you didn't really belong? If you do, just be honest and just write, yes, I've had that feeling before. I felt like I was on the outside, like other people were on the inside, or I felt like people shunned me, or I felt like I got left out, or I just really don't fit in. If you felt that, the Lord is gathering all the people together. He says he's gathering together the outcasts of Israel. Spiritually, he wants to bring everybody in together. He wants us to be closer and closer. He's gathering together the outcasts. See, sometimes when people feel like they've been offended or they feel like an outcast, they start to drift away. And I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be part of that. And then they start to drift away and drift away. And you'll look, he's like, well, I haven't seen him in 2 or 3 months. And it's like, no, it's been more like 4 or 5, 6 months because they just drift away. But God wants to gather people in. In verse 3, it says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now it says, he healeth the broken in heart. If you have brokenheartedness, like I said, it could come from anything. Maybe someone did offend you. Maybe someone left you out. Maybe someone betrayed you. The thing about it is we have a high priest who knows about betrayal. Yes. We have a high priest who knows about being considered an outcast and shunned. Anything that you feel that's broken your heart, it's already broken Christ's heart, right? It's already broken his heart. That's why he came. As a brother saying, that's why he came and died for us. Because of sin was in the world, because of all these different things, he came to bind these things up and to heal them so that we could be, God wants us to be whole. And that's, I think, my burden is he wants us to be whole. And I don't think we're living into the full wholeness that God has for us. And I include myself in that group. I've been brokenhearted. And there's places where I discover, I'm like, Lord, that's a broken place in my life. I need healing on that. I feel a certain way. I need healing because I want to be able to go as far as God wants me to go. I don't want to come short because I'm dragging some brokenheartedness behind me. In verse 4, he says, he telleth the number of the stars, which he calleth them all by their names. Verse 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now, part of this brokenheartedness comes because sometimes we feel like people just don't understand us. They don't understand me. My parents didn't understand me. My brothers and sisters don't understand me. The people at the church don't understand me. The people at work don't understand me. Even my friends that I chose, they don't understand me. But you know what? I know somebody who does understand you. God understands you. Christ understands you. The Holy Spirit can relate to you. It says his understanding is infinite. Now, I know we got some smart people in here, and infinite means there's no bounds to his understanding. So whatever your situation, you'd be like, well, no, my situation is unique. Well, guess what? Your unique situation fits in God's infinite understanding. No matter what it is, no matter what the circumstances, well, this didn't work out. I was disappointed as a child. I was disappointed as a teenager. I was disappointed in my marriage. I was disappointed on my job. The person I trained got promoted over me, and now I'm sitting here and you're letting that little brokenheartedness turn into a root of bitterness. And if you don't pluck that thing out, it'll grow and it'll turn into something terrible. But see, we don't have to, and that's the thing, we don't have to live below the benefits that God has for us. We don't have to live below the privilege that he has for us. So I want you to think about it. Verse 3, it says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now, if God's going to heal you, he can do a complete job. He doesn't have to half heal you or kind of heal you or give you some relief or whatever. He can completely heal you to the point of it won't even leave a scar. It doesn't have to leave a scar. See, some of us, we have a healed place, but we have a scar. And you know what scars do? When you look at them, you remember it. You think about it. But see, Jesus, God can heal it where it's not even a scar. You look down, you'd be like, what? Nothing. What happened? I've moved on. I've moved on from that thing. See, the scar makes you kind of keeps you stuck there a little bit. You look at it, and I'm kind of stuck in that place, but Jesus can make it where you don't even, it's gone. You can just release it and let it go and move on. So turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 61, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Isaiah 61, I'm going to start at verse 1 and 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And that's what we get an opportunity to do today, to preach good tidings to God's people. This is good news. What I wrote up here on this board, that's good news. It's good news that we can be healed. And I want you to understand, that's good news. That's good tidings unto the meek. It says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And so I want you to think about this is a prophecy about Jesus and why Jesus was going to come, why Jesus was going to shed his blood, because the human condition that existed here existed when Jesus was on this earth. These things still exist today, and God can still deliver people from them. That's his intent. It says to preach good tidings unto the meek. The thing about it is the best news is that we can be free from our sins. That's the best news, is we can be free from sin. It says he sent me to bind the brokenhearted, the people spiritually that are broken, that Jesus came to heal us up and to bind those places. It says to proclaim liberty to the captives. And this is one thing that in 2023, people are captivated by so many things. People are held captive by so many things, and it just captivates their mind, and they're just into it, and they can't seem to focus on anything else, and they're just captivated. They're captivated by it, and it's by some of it, most of it, I would say, is by the design of our enemy. The things that captivate us. I'll confess, truly, my phone can captivate me. I'll get on there, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm just going to look through a couple of these, and the next thing I know, I look up, 20 minutes have passed, 30 minutes have passed, and we got captivated. There are people captivated with ambition. All they talk about is their career and making money. There's people captivated by love and the pursuit of relationships. People are captivated by money and greed, and you can look around, but you know what? Jesus came to set at liberty anybody that's captivated by anything. People are captivated by drugs and alcohol, and they're captivated by this thing and that. If there's anything that you're captivated by that's pulling you from your relationship with God, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to heal me in this place. I'm captivated by this thing, by this person, by this whatever, and I need to be free, because he has freedom for us. It says, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And that's the other thing. You can see people just wound and bound up in addiction. We live in a society that people are prone to just being addicted to anything. True. I've had someone call me and they asked me for some money. And they told me a story. They said, I need some money because I need to go buy something for their health. And they told me this story that they needed some money because they had to go take care of something so they could maintain their health. And I said, okay, I can help you out. And so I gave the person the money, and they said they would pay me back in a couple weeks or something. Well, a couple weeks came, and I didn't hear from them. And then they called me and said, I'm not going to be able to give you the money back that I owe you. And I said, oh, okay, you know, pay me when you can. Then fast forward a few months, still don't have the money. I was talking to someone and they said, well, you know, this person right here, they have a problem with going to the casino and spending all their money. So guess where I'm guessing my money went, right? I didn't know. What I found out is the person is captivated by that gambling addiction, and they're just caught up into it. So now when my phone rings the next time, I'll have a different set of questions. But you can see, you can look around in our society, things are designed to captivate people and draw them away from God. I want us to be aware that anything that has you captivated and drawing you away from God, you can be healed of that.
Amen.
This is, he said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This today is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the time accepted that you can choose and make your choice to live for God, because it all comes down to our choices. See, I choose to turn that phone on and flip through it. That's my choice. I can also put my phone down and pick this up, right? It's a choice, right? Because many times they are close together. But that's my choice. And I'm not just going to stay on the phone, but it's just an example of things that can take our minds and start to draw them away. I want you to turn with me over to Luke. And this is a passage of scripture about Jesus.
Yes.
It's Luke 4, and I'm going to start at verse 16. Luke 4 and 16. And this is about Jesus. And it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. See, Jesus went into the synagogue, and people viewed him as a teacher. So when he asked for the book, they brought him the scrolls. And then he turned into this place in Isaiah where we just read. And this is what Jesus read. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue, were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Amen.
So in Isaiah, this was a prophecy, but Jesus is talking to the people, and he's looking at them face to face, and he's telling him, that person that you've been looking for, that is me.
Right.
I am here. I am the one. And that is still today, this day that he did this. That is, we are still living in this day. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. How many of you paid admission to get into this chapel today? You know, if we had to charge admission to hear the word of God, none of us could afford it, because that's how valuable it is. And Jesus knew we couldn't afford to pay the debt that we owed, so he came to preach it to the poor, to those who would open their hearts and listen to it. It says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And I want you to think about this. When Jesus went around and he was talking to the people, when he saw people, you know what Jesus saw? He saw their brokenheartedness. He didn't see what the clothes they had on and their circumstance in life and their privilege and their reputation and their job. He didn't see all that. When people came to him, he just saw them, and people would cry out to him, and they would bring people to him, and he would look at him and he would see, this person, they really need me. Because if one of the things I've done is, when you track through the Bible, So many times Jesus was on his way somewhere else when people stopped him and asked him to do something. And when they stopped him, Jesus would look at the people and he would just have compassion on them because he could see their brokenheartedness. And what he knew was, I am their only way out. That's what Jesus knew. He said, I'm their only way out. That person, that boy that was bound by all those devils, Jesus knew, I'm his only way out. When Mary came to him, he knew that I'm their only way out. When they brought the woman accused of adultery and they wanted to stone her, which was the law, he looked at her and said, I'm her only way out. And you know, when he looks at you, you know what he thinks? I'm your only way out. I am your only way out. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the path that you have to go through. He's telling these people right here, he says, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind. We live in a world where people are existing with spiritual blindness. Yes. You can talk to people and they know something about everything, but you start talking to them about their soul, all of a sudden they don't know nothing, do they? They don't have no words. It's like, wait a minute. What about your soul? I'm good. Let's talk about your spiritual life. People are spiritually blind. And what Jesus came was to put a salve on people's eyes so they could take it off so they could be healed and they could see. And then this, he says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Is anybody in here bruised today? Are you bruised in any part of your life? Is there a, you know, when you have a bruise, it might be doing just fine until somebody touches that thing.
Right. Yes.
And then you have something in your life that it's all good, but if you touch that, oh no. Because that's a bruise.
Yes.
That's a place that you're bruised, you're hurt, you're damaged. Yes. And you know what? As Brother Henry was saying this morning, we live with people, and so offenses are going to come.
Yes.
Offenses are going to come. The bruising is going to come, but we can't be healed from anything that bruises us. Are you disappointed about anything? Is there something that you're struggling with? Do you feel a sadness about something? If you do, Jesus can heal you of whatever that thing is. Are you living a life of sin where you're having to cover up this thing here? You're trying to cover up this here? And I will tell you, the devil is an abuser.
Yes.
If you're living out in sin, the devil, his objective is to abuse you and to have you bruised because he's trying to damage you.
Yes.
Before we got saved, we were all damaged goods.
Yes. Yes.
That's what restoration means.
Amen.
That we had to be restored. We had to be transformed. We had to be renewed. Something needs renewing because it's been damaged. We were all in that place. But the thing about it is we don't have to stay in that place to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So I want you to think about it. So it was prophesied, and then Jesus came and said, I am the person who's going to do all these things. So turn back with me to Isaiah 61. I'm going to read the third verse, Isaiah 61 and 3. And I want you to think about this. Think about this. This is what Jesus came to do. This continue on. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. He wants to take that old life, that tattered toward life. He want to exchange beauty for ashes. The things that we've burned up on, that we burned out on, he wants to give us beauty for ashes. He wants to exchange that stony heart for a heart of flesh.
Yes.
Says the oil of joy for mourning. Being in sin is miserable.
Yes.
How do I know? Because I've been there.
Right.
Sin, because you have guilt. You have oppression from the devil. And this is what Jesus is saying. He came to give you the oil of joy for mourning. That thing that you're brokenhearted about, that thing that's dragging you down, he came to give you the oil of joy. He wants to take our sadness. He wants to give us joy. It says the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do y'all understand what this scripture is saying? The spirit of heaviness.
Right.
Do y'all feel the spirit of heaviness that's in this world? This world is so divisive.
Right.
It brings you down to listen to the news, to hear people talk. Anything, right. I could say, these benches, these pews are blue, and it becomes political.
Right.
And there's a heaviness that comes. You can hardly talk to anybody about anything because all of a sudden, the heaviness
right.
comes down.
Yeah.
There's a heaviness. He wants to give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That thing that we've been dragging behind us that's getting so heavy. It's getting so heavy. We've just been dragging it. How do I know? Because one time I was dragging unforgiveness in my heart. I was just dragging it around. And I would see certain people and I'd feel a certain way about them. But you know what the Lord said, Kevin? He put his finger on it. He said, that's unforgiveness. And I said, yes, it is, Lord. That's unforgiveness. So I had to pray and ask the Lord to help me to forgive. And you know what? He took that burden from me. I feel different when I see the people. I feel different about it. He came that heaviness because guess who it was heavy for? It was heavy for me. The other people, they probably didn't even know or care. But it was heavy for me, and I was just dragging it behind me, not making the spiritual progress I needed to make. On your piece of paper, I want you to draw, is there anything that's getting heavy for you? Is there something that's getting heavy for you that you're just tired of carrying that thing behind? You're tired of dragging it behind? And like I said, maybe you're like, I'm big and I'm strong, but you know deep down inside, there's a little boy or girl that's has some brokenness. And you're like, I do need healing from that. And see, a lot of times as we grow up, we learn how to cope and we mask and we got it masked and we got on all of our armor and we're masked up, but it's because we're trying to defend from some little hurt that's down there. We need the Lord to just heal us from that. He says that, see, this is why he wants to do all these things. That they might be called trees of righteousness. See, we need in 2023, we need strong trees of righteousness.
Amen.
We need trees of righteousness planted, growing. It says the planting of the Lord. Why? That he might be glorified.
Yes.
All of us, I want you to understand, every person in here was born to glorify God.
Right.
You were born to glorify God. You were planted in this world to glorify God. And the Lord revealed to me one time about the fruits of the Spirit. So I want you to think about a tree that's growing up and then the fruits of love and kindness and all these things on here. You know, the Lord revealed to me, he said, the fruit on a tree is not for the tree. It's for other people.
Right.
And I said, okay, Lord. So the fruit that I bear, the love, the joy, the peace, is so other people can benefit from that. That we can be trees of righteousness planted, that God would be glorified. That someone can say, you know what? I can come under that tree of righteousness that's Brother Kevin, that's Sister Danella. I can go and I can get some wise counsel and she can give me some fruit off of her tree and I will be able to be sustained long enough to make it on. So that's what God wants every one of us. You were planted into this world to be a tree of righteousness. Are we being the trees of righteousness? Because you know what? Brokenheartedness will diminish the amount of fruit that you can produce. So I want us to think about it. And as I move to a close, I want to turn to Matthew 11 and 28. I cannot get away from this scripture because as Jesus, this is Jesus' appeal, and I have an appeal also for everyone here. I'm going to read Jesus' appeal, and then I'll get into my appeal. He says, come unto me. I'm in Matthew 11 and 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Yes.
and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So my first appeal is to God's people, to the saints, to those of us who are saved. Is there something in your life that's become hard or heavy or that you're laboring under? Maybe you're laboring under fear or doubt or brokenheartedness, and there's something that you need to work through. I would encourage you to work through that thing, to find a place of prayer and reading, because we want to move toward spiritual maturity. And if you're laboring with something, the Lord will give you rest. He has rest for his people. He has rest for us from that brokenheartedness that he wants to heal us. If you've been trying to tend to your own brokenheartedness, coping with things that you're just trying to come up with yourself, I would encourage you as God's people that we have a high priest.
Yes.
We have someone who understands everything about us, and he can take that burden that we've been carrying around. Maybe, like I said, it's fear or doubt or something that's happened that you're trying to get over. My last appeal is to those who are not saved. If you are not saved, if you know that you are not living for God, my appeal to you is to get saved today.
Yes.
That brokenheartedness that you have, that broken heart, you can be saved and healed of that today. That's what Jesus was telling people. He said, today, this is fulfilled today. And I want you to know that today you can be healed of whatever it is. If it's sin in your life, Jesus is the great physician. He can heal whatever. You're like, well, that's just who I am. And people in this world we live in, that's who I am. That's how God made me. And I'm going to tell you, you know what?
Yes.
That's why he came, to save us from ourselves.
Right.
He came to save us from that carnal nature. That's what he came to save us from. I'm thinking, yes. Because you know what? Some of the brokenheartedness that I experienced in my life, you know who was responsible for it? Me.
Right.
Because of what I was doing. And then the outcome broke my heart.
Yes.
But you know what? God can heal us of all of our brokenheartedness.
Amen.
He can heal us of all our sins, of all the things that captivate us. He said, I am the Lord God that healeth thee.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. May God bless us all. If you have a spiritual need today, I would encourage you to get that need met.
Amen.
Today.
Yes.
Don't put it off until tomorrow.
Right.
Don't put it off until next week. I would encourage you, if you're saved and you need to pray to the Lord, these altars up here,
yes,
you know what they are? They're a place of victory.
Yes.
They're a place of victory. The devil tries to get people to think that's a place of shame. That's a place of defeat. No, the altars are a place of victory.
Yes.
That's where you can come and meet with God's people and pray. And when you leave, you can have victory in your life. You can be healed and cleansed in your life, and you can go back from these altars.
Amen.
So as we give time and space for prayer, I would encourage you, take the time and space, pray right now, because our adversary is going to try to trip us up.
Yes,
if we say, well, I'll pray later. I don't care who you are. If you need to pray, pray right now. Let's get this victory right now, and let's get our broken hearts healed. Right now. Thank you for your time. God bless us all.